Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Building a DevOps Culture in a Remote World. My name is Brian Benz. I'm a cloud advocate at Microsoft. And here to present for you today is Emily Freeman. She is not only a friend and colleague, but she is also the author of DevOps for Dummies, among many other things. And she's got some great insights on a very timely topic for you. So we're going to have some QA at the end. But for now, take it away, Emily. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Hello. I am absolutely thrilled to be here with you. It's not exactly how I thought we'd meet, but I am beyond excited about some of the things we've cooked up for you to make this build extra special. If you've been watching, you already know how much work has been put into making this a truly interactive event, despite our distance. So I'm excited to take QA at the very end. Whenever I hear the words DevOps transformation, I imagine someone somewhere groaning and thinking, ugh, here we go again. We did waterfall, we did agile, we did lean. There are countless books and ideas by tech celebrities of how we can develop software better, faster, and more reliably. And it's not that those methodologies were wrong or founded in bad ideas. Each were the next iteration, and each has left its mark on how we develop software. But when tested in production, those approaches to software development surfaced deep-seated frustrations, intellectual silos, and fears. I think everyone in this session has stood through an hour-long stand-up in a room with a tall table and no chairs, or argued for 15 minutes on whether a feature was an 8 or a 13. For the record, it was an 8, and I was right. We've attempted to follow outdated documentation that was never maintained, and witnessed the creation of Frankenstein-like microservices that I like to call macroservices. We've probably all written some too, but we won't talk about that. That's not fun. The point is, there are plenty of anti-patterns, and you've probably experienced most of them. So why is DevOps any different from every other idea? Well, I think because it's about you, and that includes everyone. Where Agile is focused on developers, DevOps centers the entire team. Devs, ops, PMs, designers, security, QA, and yes, even sales and marketing. It takes all of us to build and deploy quality products. I'm Emily Freeman. I'm the author of DevOps for Dummies and a principal cloud advocate here at Microsoft. I am obsessed with helping technology organizations transform themselves by creating company cultures in which diverse, collaborative teams can thrive. I've worked in organizations with great culture. I've also worked in environments where you could literally feel the tension. In the former, I was challenged and inspired. I performed at a higher level. I thought creatively. I took risks, and I was happy. I left work smiling every day. In the latter, I was miserable. I mean, everyone was. I would start to plan lunch with my colleagues at 10 in the morning or find any excuse to leave the office. I didn't do great work, and I think my soul started to die. Hiring great engineers is just one piece of the puzzle. Allowing those engineers to thrive and to be the absolute best performers they can possibly be, well, that's an entirely different challenge, one I believe DevOps can solve. DevOps is a decade old. I can't believe it. We've been talking about this for 10 years, and it's a tween. For the most part, DevOps has been widely adopted by organizations across the tech industry. Now, if you're thinking, I've heard of DevOps, but I'm, you know, not exactly sure what it means, or I know what it's supposed to be, but I don't think we're doing it right, or maybe you're new to tech, and that's okay. Simply put, DevOps is an engineering culture of collaboration, ownership, and learning with the purpose of accelerating the software development lifecycle. DevOps is built on the foundation of Agile to focus on culture, process, and tools in that order, which is why this talk is focused on culture and the processes that support it, the two most important priorities of any DevOps organization. Now, before you ask, but what about the tools, Emily? Well, you're not wrong. Tools are critical to implementing DevOps, but they come last. When I ask people what's going wrong in their DevOps practice, they almost never tell me that it's a tooling issue. And even when it's product related, it's more about how the team is actually utilizing that tool than the tool itself. If you put tooling first, all you accomplish is automating and obfuscating the bad habits that already exist in your organization. Let's say, for example, that you want to release software more quickly. That's great. CI/CD, continuous integration, continuous delivery seems like an awesome solution, because it is. And this is where products like Azure DevOps and GitHub Actions really come into play. But before you do that, your engineers have to be in the habit of writing tests for new features and bug fixes. Without a robust test suite, a CI/CD pipeline, as fancy and beautiful as it is just a fast trip to a bad time. You can just imagine in your own code bases and systems how chaotic it could become if you automated certain processes without first manually improving them. I've been picking dandelions out of my yard recently in a slow, endless battle. A dandelion is this insidious weed. It just grows everywhere. And this little tiny flower that was so magical to me as a child has become quite the nuisance in my adulthood. But the dandelion embodies a lesson. Weeds can grow in the worst soil. Clay, rock, sand, weeds find a way. But truly productive plants, the kind that provide us life, they require a more hardy, rich environment. Farmers must care for the soil on their land, balance the acidity, add nutrients, till the dirt, rotate crops. It's hard work, but the effort bears fruit. DevOps is centered around a few core principles. You can think of these as the work you must do before you ever think of planting the seeds of tooling. It is in embodying and executing on these principles when your actions reflect the ideas that you begin to transform your organization. We are experiencing collective trauma right now. Many companies have been forced to implement 100% remote work overnight. And I want to acknowledge that that's not easy. And we're all figuring it out as we go. But there are some things that we can do to build DevOps despite the distance. Empower your team to work with their peers and make independent decisions based on their expertise. Collaboration is foundational to your DevOps practice, and that starts with trust. Trust is even harder to build in a remote environment. So create remote water cooler-like opportunities for colleagues to build rapport. Set up specific channels in your team's instance for people to casually chat about life, not just work. And establish a lunch roulette system where folks can grab remote lunch with a random group of their peers. It's even better if managers and executives join in and create real human connections with their teams. The bottom line is, it is much easier to get through product and architecture disagreements if you trust the people with whom you work. Cross-functional teams in which members have complementary skill sets are ideal for creating a culture where information is shared freely and reduces a sort of not my job attitude. One of the best ways to build these is to hire people who don't just have the technical skill set you need, but also have a natural curiosity. These engineers often embody a dogged determination to figure it out, even if they're not sure how to first approach a problem or what product or tool to use. And these people, these engineers, will grow to support each other over time and create a truly collaborative work environment. I want to be very clear about this. Failure is unavoidable. You cannot outthink or outsmart failure. It just happens. You are much better off accepting that fact and practicing failure than you are to shift all your work toward avoiding it at all costs. But what does practicing failure actually look like? For one, it's acknowledging that we're all human. And sometimes, occasionally, the new guy deletes a production database. It happens. Some of us have done it. We're not going to talk about that. The question to ask in that moment isn't, why did we hire them? Instead, it's, why was someone independently able to drop a production database? Because that's a problem. And that's a process problem, not a human one. Communication is something undervalued in tech. We focus so much on that sort of raw engineering intelligence that we can overlook the ability of some to convey technical concepts to others clearly. But this soft skill is far from simple. Communication is a practice skill. You get better at it over time. And without it, you will suffer reductions in speed, quality, and profitability. This also means being willing to be wrong, which always stings. I mean, no one likes that. It's not fun. But you must be willing to accept feedback, not only from your peers, but also your customers. Now, in a remote setting, this can be extra tricky. And the answer isn't overtaxing your team with endless calls, because there is a fatigue and a cost to that. But do try to make time to communicate over video rather than just email and chat. It's a more efficient and nuanced form of communication that conveys more than just words. One of the challenges DevOps faces is its implementation. It's much easier to conceptualize the values I just discussed than it is to actually inject it into your work environment. The reason implementation is hard is because we all work at different companies, and each of those companies has different people and resources and constraints. I wish I could just hand you a checklist at the end of which you could declare DevOps victory and be done. Instead, I'm going to provide you strategies that you can then tailor to your unique environment. In DevOps for Dummies, I describe company culture as the unspoken expectations, behavior, and values of an organization. Culture is what tells your employees whether company leadership is open to new ideas. It informs an employee's decision on whether to come forward with a problem or to sort of sweep it under the rug and cover their tracks. There are three main stages of building culture and designing your organization. First, you need to evaluate where you are right now. Then, ensure leadership actually models the culture you want to build. And finally, you'll incentivize your values. The first step to building or renewing your organization's culture is simply evaluating its current health. This is especially important for older and larger companies that have a long history of institutional knowledge and habits, but it can be just as important for that sort of scrappy startup. Even if you think you have a great culture, I would encourage you to step back and look at it with a cynic's eye. Here are a few approaches to culture assessment. Survey your employees, just ask them. Now, you need to ensure that the survey is anonymous so that employees feel free to be honest without fear of retaliation. Ask questions like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely would you be to leave for a 10% raise from another company? Or on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your direct supervisor's job performance? Observe interpersonal communication. You can learn a lot from just watching how people in your company work together. Is everyone engaged? Do folks assume positive intent? Are people spoken to with respect? Pay close attention to when engineers disagree. If they're quick to escalate to anger or name calling, it's a sign that people aren't able to express their frustrations in a more professional way. Finally, take a hard look at leadership. Company culture is set at the top and it flows down from there. If your CEO behaves like a jerk, chances are you have a culture of fear, disrespect, and competition. To create a DevOps culture, especially in a remote and often distributed working environment, it is critical that you lead by example and persuade others to join you. You absolutely cannot go it alone. A single hero engineer will do nothing but frustrate themselves and those around them. DevOps is a collaborative effort in every way. If you can appropriately model the benefits, measure the data, and persuade others, you will find your entire organization energized around new ideas and possibilities. Except humans, sometimes they don't like change. I think we all sometimes feel this. Most of the resistance that you might come across as you start to exercise some change in your organization, it rests in two key areas. The first is simply past experience. Everyone comes to every job and situation with years of successes and failures and disappointments and fears. If anyone in the session has been fired, you know how much that stings. I've been fired, and I just remember being obsessed with how sad, even pathetic it was, that I was walking home with my uneaten lunch. But the longer impact of that was that I was incredibly intolerant to risk for a long time. It's important to recognize where your colleagues are at and to show empathy for their situation. The other area is simply uncertainty. Our brains often categorize uncertainty as a threat rather than an opportunity. Remember, no one is enemies in this. Your goal is to be kind and to persuade, never to force. Ask questions. What are your colleagues struggling with right now? What's hard or labor intensive or stressful or irritating? And then offer concrete suggestions. We're engineers. We love evidence. But we also love it when someone has thought about how to solve a problem before raising it. Think through which challenge you want to tackle first and then next. It doesn't mean you're locked into a strategy. Instead, it provides a sort of North Star that everyone can move forward toward together. Finally, encourage experimentation. You never know what brilliant idea might just work unless you give it a go. Keep experiments small to reduce risk, but give people freedom to try new approaches. Iterating and experimenting make DevOps something everyone is a part of, not something forced on engineers by leadership. Values are worthless if you don't communicate them and then incentivize the behavior that supports them. I am a big fan of positive reinforcement, and I believe in rewarding valuable behavior. I've seen too many times when negative reinforcement permanently damages morale. Evaluations can either be a time of constructive feedback and reflection, or a sort of chaotic and panic-inducing period designed to instill fear and dread. Your team can either come out of them motivated or defeated, and it's really up to you. It turns out most humans aren't particularly motivated by cold, hard cash. Money is an extrinsic motivator. Many people, though, are motivated by the intrinsic values with which they identify. Now, that doesn't mean you get to save a bunch of money on salaries. Don't get too excited. Ensure your salaries meet or surpass fair market value and are equitable across everyone doing the same work. But get creative. And again, ask your employees what motivates them. Sometimes it's as simple as words of affirmation and telling them that you value them and their work. Other times it's the freedom to work on fun projects or have hack time. Freeing up 20% or so time for folks to play and experiment is even more important right now. Everyone is stressed. There are new constraints placed on us, and if you're not careful, your most talented engineers may run themselves into the ground and burn out. Most engineers got into tech because they love creating and they love coding. So let them do that. Create opportunities for engineering to still be fun and exciting through this stressful drudgery. That extra day of rest and engineering playfulness may never repeat or reap dividends for the company. But it is a clear sign that leadership cares more about their people than they do the bottom line. And that sends a powerful message that can help you retain your most talented engineers. DevOps is not a silver bullet, but it is a framework in which you can design your company culture so that everyone can thrive and create a product that brings real value to your customers. I believe engineers who are proud of their work and their workplaces create software that is better, faster, and more reliable. We have a unique opportunity in this moment to reset and reprioritize, not just about whether we'll ever return to offices or whether remote is productive, but how we approach engineering, and perhaps more importantly, how we treat the people with whom we work. Thank you so much for joining me at Microsoft Build. I would love to take some questions and learn more about your individual DevOps journeys. Before we jump into Q&A in just a moment, I do want to recommend Microsoft Learn. We have modules on evolving your DevOps practices, capturing feedback, monitoring data, as well as building and deploying your applications with Azure DevOps. If you're new to Azure, Learn is a fantastic resource. All of those Learn modules will help you prepare for the AZ 400 certification on Azure DevOps solutions. Okay, Brian, what do you got for me? I'm actually going to invite my escapee dog, Walter, over here, who's now chewing a bone in my room.
Awesome. Well, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. I got to say, full disclosure, this is the second time that I've watched you live, and we had some rehearsals and everything. I learn something new every time. So thank you very much. It's really great. So we have about 9 minutes left for questions, and we do have a few so far. A few came in early, meaning that you actually answered them mostly during the beginning of the session. There are a couple that I think you can elaborate on. There's a few questions, if I may summarize, more about just when do you know you're ready to implement DevOps? When do you know that your organization or your team is ready to go and try some kind of DevOps? And where do you start, really?
Yeah. Great question. I think this is really common. It comes in two forms, right? Sometimes it's the, you know, we are a very traditional engineering culture. We have silos, devs and ops are totally different teams. And then how do you sort of start a DevOps journey from scratch? And then there's the more common at this point, which is, you know, we have DevOps engineers on staff, but we're not really, you know, doing the DevOps. And how do we kind of tailor our culture around actually implementing things, not just in words, but also in actions? Mm-hmm. I think in either of the situations, if you wait until you're ready and everything is perfectly lined up, it's kind of too late. So I would say just get started. Pull a piece of the system out and work on that small little bit. You know how I was talking about reducing risk and making sure you're able to experiment? That carries through for everything, right? So take a service that is not one of your most trafficked services, and also not related to revenue, right? So like cart service, not a great service to start with. But take something small and manageable and really like look at that whole system. How is this built out? Is it one engineer that owns this service, or is it a collaborative product? How can you invite other people to the table at the beginning to really think about some things like testing and security, things that get sort of lost until the end of the process a lot of times? And then you can actually start to experiment with tooling. So at the beginning of something, always take a baseline. You want to look at a bunch of data and see like, okay, well, mean time to resolution or time between deployments. Those are pretty good litmus tests for how your organization is doing. Never take one of those and use it as, you know, the gold star. It's going to take a bunch of those data points to give you a clear view of where your org is at. But take that baseline, make some changes, implement some sort of CI/CD, and look at how Azure DevOps and GitHub Actions can really make that a more robust experience for you. And then if you go to leadership or your peers and you say, listen, this is easier, this is faster, this is less expensive, it's an easy sell.
Yeah, it's in a lot of ways like starting a coding project as well, where you start with a small, quick, easy win and build on that success. So yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's great. Absolutely. Thanks. Another question is really about systems reliability engineering. Where do you, SRE versus DevOps, where do you draw the line and how do you work with those two topics.
Yeah, so SRE, site reliability engineering. There's two ways of sort of looking at this, and both are flawed. So I'm gonna anger someone. So whoever you are, I'm sorry. I think there's a way to look at it as, you know, SRE is the sort of next iteration of DevOps, where we're looking more at what I like to call the abilities, right? Reliability, availability, etc. The issue with that is that SRE, in its purest form, does not cover some of the earlier stages of the software development lifecycle. So for me, SRE is a focused way of thinking about deployments and maintenance of software products. It does not cover some of the things like, okay, well, how do we reduce silos between devs and ops? How do we think about things like security and architecture early on? How do we even, like, you know, continuous deployment, for me, one of the big drives is not just for engineers, but it's a way of creating easy product launches where sales and marketing can have a clear date, but things are already in the bag. And so we can release whenever, you know, there's not this like, well, you're late kind of stressful engineering situation. So for me, they're sort of different principles, different types of ways of looking at the same system. But they're definitely sisters or brothers in this. They're related ways of thinking.
Sure. Great. We also had a couple of questions related. I think it answered a little bit in that answer, but it's about what would you suggest for tools and techniques for implementing DevOps across time zones and across silos? You know, maybe it's a different organization entirely that you're working with, for example.
That's interesting. Time zones, time zones are hard, I think, for all of us. yeah. But I think that's less of a concern for me in DevOps because yes, you need to have time where you're like actually interacting with people across a global team. So that's something to work out. But as far as the tooling aspect, that shouldn't play a huge role in it. I would say anytime you're working with different groups of people who are either cross-functional teams that are working on specific projects or just different groups of engineers, each of those social situations is going to have its own unique culture, right? If you take five people over here and then five people over here, depending on who's in it, it's going to be a different dynamic. So first is just recognizing that these are people and they are interacting in a particular way, and sort of meeting them where they're at, right? You want to make sure that your processes aren't sort of too heavy-handed or you know, will spark mutiny, but also just kind of like focusing on the people and trying to make, if you can make other people's job easier, period, it will be an easier way of approaching it. You know, if you can go through and really think about it in that way, you'll be in strong footing.
Great. Let's see. Well, actually, that's all the questions we had, and awesome. I think we've only got another minute or so anyway. So I'll just say thank you very much, Emily, and I'll leave you with a final word. So
perfect. Thank you so much. If you have questions you think about later, I'm editing Emily on Twitter, and I look forward to connecting with you all. Thank you so much for joining Microsoft Build. Have a good night.